Hello, race fans. Welcome to the super high-end TV studio here at my hotel room in Indianapolis. Staying here for a couple of days before we head to Mid-Ohio on Thursday for the upcoming, or the next at least, Road to Indy event. My name's Rob Howden, the Road to Indy Insider. Thank you so much for being with us. My light's going in and out. I've got a bunch of lights pointing at me. It's the black hat. If I got rid of the black hat, I think it would light things up a bit. But hey, you know what? We're coming off what was a tremendous week. I keep saying weekend, but I'm trying to hold myself back. A week, a Thursday, Friday event at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, as we were able to get triple headers in for both the USF 2000 program and Indy Pro 2000. Had a chance to talk with Dudu Barrichello after a couple of big wins for him. Kudos as well for Reese Gold getting his first win in USF 2000. But only one driver standing on top of the podium in all three of the races at IMS on the road course. And of course, that was Stingray Rob. A breakout weekend for sure for the young American driver. He's joining me here today. We'll bring him in here in a couple of minutes. But it's been really interesting to watch his development over the last 4 years and running different cars, different teams, kind of settling in as a young driver who didn't go into the USF 2000 program but elected first to jump into Pro Mazda at that point in the older race car, the old Pro Formula Mazda 2017, then jumped into the PM18. And then when he hooked up last year with Juncos Racing, it really kind of gave him, I think, a place where he needed to be in terms of growth. Because as we know, Juncos Racing has won championships, many championships over the last couple of years in the Indy Pro category, of course, with Rinus VK, which I think was big. Baseline is there for Stingray to be able to come in and really develop his talent. And we saw what happened with all the different winners, six different winners in the first seven races. And then, of course, Stingray goes on a streak with three wins at IMS, still those six different winners. But that shows you how close the category is this year. So many great teams, so many great drivers. And here we are. We're a couple of days away from heading to Mid-Ohio. Let's bring Stingray in here right now. Boom. Stingray, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. I'm probably not as good as you are. You know, I had a great weekend. I went to the NHRA race. That was awesome. I wasn't hanging around my hotel room having just won three races at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. How was that, first and foremost?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, after winning race one, it was kind of like this moment of, man, that was pretty good. I think we can go do two more. So, I don't know. I think that it was a really good week and quite the way to celebrate my birthday and my mechanic's birthday. I think we both figured it was a good gift to each other.
Yeah, I think let's start with this. Coming into the weekend, right, you had that win at Mid-Ohio. And, you know, we've talked about that. We were waiting for that first win. And I knew that it would take so much pressure off you once you got that first victory in the books. It would have been nice for you to go right to a road course, right? Like coming off a road course win, let's go to another road course. Instead, you have to go to the oval. Super strong at the start of the Freedom 75 at Lucas Oil Raceway. You're battling with Cody Swanson. Maybe use the tires up a little bit. You faded, but got a good result. Same goes for Worldwide Technology Raceway. Back-to-back ovals, you go there. Devin DeFrancesco's out front. He goes green to checker. But you were in a huge battle with first your teammate, Artem Petrov. Then you're battling Braden Eaves. But another top five finish. Those three races kind of getting rolling. Did you feel like you still had momentum coming into that open race at IMS?
Oh, for sure. I think that I kind of gained momentum at Gateway. Lucas Oil, I think I was one of the only guys that was able to run side by side with Cody for that many laps on that inside line. And that was so much fun running there. It's just unfortunate that we wore ourselves out in those opening laps. It makes it difficult going side by side for 20 plus laps with other guys. So I think I was okay with the sixth place finish, a little disappointed, but moving on to Gateway. Gateway has been a rough race for me every year. You know, we've never really had a really good result. And going into the practice sessions and the qualifying, I was a little bit nervous and qualified all right. Third was all right for me.
Yeah.
And I think that Artem had a little bit of a leg up there. He was a little less nervous. I think he had a really good car there last year with Kirkwood winning the race and him being his teammate. So this year we were making some good adjustments, and then the morning of the race, that morning practice, that was the first time I think I've ever been on the oval and gone, okay, I can get used to this. You know, we were running guys down, making moves. So that whole morning practice is all about getting a good race car, you know, race runs. Yeah. And we did. We had such a good car. It was so fun to drive.
Let's be real. A good car on a road course is confidence inspiring. I feel good. But a good car on an oval, that's the serious confidence inspiring right there, right?
That's right. Well, and it's kind of funny. So I was at Pit Fit this morning training with those awesome guys there, but Zach Veach was in there as well. And I've gotten to talk to him a little bit before, and I told him about the oval, and he goes, oh yeah, dude, when you have a good mobile car, it feels like a video game. You just make things happen. Like, that's exactly what it felt like. So
I like that. That's really good. That's awesome. Hey, listen, one of the things I wanted to talk about before we talk about more about Indy, let's go back to Lucas Oil Raceway. It's a 5/8 mile oval. It's banked. It's 90 laps for you guys. I heard a lot of input from guys later on that you guys were just holding on in the last, you know, 15, 20 laps. It was really physically exhausting.
Yeah, you know, I think that last year was less physically exhausting just because I didn't have to go side by side. I like killed myself in those opening 25 laps trying to go side by side with Cody.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the race, I look down at my dash and I see that we're like 55 laps in. I'm like, holy cow, I'm dead. Like, this is all I got.
Really? Was it that tough?
Oh, man. I noticed about lap 60 that my right arm started to lock up from pushing. And so from there on out, I was pulling with my left hand trying to steer the car. So
wow,
it's not like the same physicality that you get on a road course where it's this constant braking and accelerating.
Yeah.
And you got the G-load side to side and everything. It's just you're going the same way for like 30 minutes. So it's like imagine doing like a 30-minute plank. Go try that for a day and tell me how you feel at the end of the day. So that's the only thing I can compare it to. It's just like it's the constant tiring of yourself through the track, and the track's not long enough. It's not like Gateway where you have a little bit of a straightaway.
That's it.
You know, to loosen up. It's like, no, you're pretty much turning for 30 minutes. So no power steering in the cars.
And how long was the recovery? How many days do you feel good afterwards?
Honestly, I felt good the next day. I usually recover pretty quickly, but obviously the strength was not there that day. I was like, oh man.
Hence why you're at Pit Fit this morning.
That's right. That's exactly why.
Good stuff. All right, let's go back into the race at IMS on the road course. You get that first victory. You talked about that very first one, right? We talked about the pressure coming off from Mid-Ohio. You get that first win. And I think you could probably look back going into the weekend saying, hey, you know what? Junco's Racing was really good here last year. They've been good at the Speedway before. So you know you're going to have a good baseline, but you come out and get that first win. Any change of expectation going into Friday, or was it, you know what, I have a car, I can win both of these races. I have to do it. This is really on me at this point.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to start over at the beginning of the weekend because we knew Frost has one of our engineers from last year as well as the D-Force guys. So we know that they have our baseline set up from last season. And so going to this week, we had to sit down with the team. The team's like, look, guys, we're going to try a new setup. We're like trying something new. And I don't know what they did different or if they did anything different or what, but you know, our car this year was improved upon from last year. And I think that's really, really impressive by the team to be able to do that and take that next step above. Having Ricardo this year, I think is invaluable, you know, because he's helping engineer the cars day in, day out. There's no distraction this year. It's just like, he's got us three drivers working for him and hopefully, he'll be able to appreciate that, but I'm sure thankful to have him there. And then,
While I was announcing him during the week, I was watching him, and he's a hands-on guy too. He's a team owner, but he's hauling tires all over the place. He's not a guy that sits back. That's for sure.
No. And every debrief, he's in the engineering room with us. We're talking it up. We got Victor Franzoni, my driver coach, Kevin, my engineer, and Ricardo's overseeing all of it. I mean, he likes to understand and see everything that's going on. And that way he can help make the decisions that are going to lead to us winning, and he did. I mean, that's why we had such a good car. All those guys working together.
How much discussion was there regarding the uniqueness of the event in terms of the fact that in years past, you know, the baseline stuff that Junco's was coming in with would have been designed to be good throughout a weekend where the NTT IndyCar Series was there, where Indy Lights was there, a lot more rubber going down, both Firestone and the Cooper rubber from the Indy Lights guys. Was the discussion about the track and how green it would be, was that part of putting the car together? Or at least you as well.
Not for me. I'm sure that they had that discussion on the side. Okay. They just told me that I need to adapt to the car as fast as I can. And I think I did that really well. I mean, opening qualifying, I qualified second to my teammate. And then in the first race, I think the reason I was able to get out to such a big lead early on was I was one of the first guys to adapt to the conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
And the other guys, I mean, they were right there at the end of the race. I didn't set the world on fire time-wise. I got there quickly and I stayed there. So I think from that aspect, I was really happy with the way I drove. The team gave me a good enough car to be able to do that, obviously. And then going into race two and three and qualifying two, it was more of the same. You know, we had a good car baseline, and they said, all right, Singer, here's what you got. You tell us what you need us to do, and you just got to go to work. It's your job here. So
that's it. Go to work. I like that. Go to work. Folks, if you're joining us here a little bit late, Stingray Rod from Juncos Racing with me here on the Road to Indy Insider Live today. Again, three big wins to take over the point lead in the Indy Pro 2000 category. If you have a question for Stingray or any kind of a comment, make sure you comment below. We'll try to bring it on here later in the show for sure. He's going to be giving away one of his hats. If you comment, we'll put your name in a hat. He'll do it a little later on. He'll pick a name out, so that'll be given out too. We have some Stingray Rob merchandise he wants to pass out. Let's think about this. So you've won your first race. You know, you win the second race. Third race, you're thinking about going for three. Last year, you almost won your first event at Laguna Seca. You were leading, and an issue happened, some gravel on the racetrack. You go off track. Were you able to not think about, put that away, and just lead races without thinking about, man, I've had so much bad luck in my life?
Yeah,
not your life finally, so much, yeah, but in the last that. Couple of races, trying to win that first one, right?
Yeah, I think my breakthrough happened at Mid-Ohio. That was the first time that I've been able to run out front, not have to. At the end of the race, I was not so worried about of the past. Now it was just kind of like, okay, we got room to improve. Let's keep improving. So going into race three, I don't think my mindset changed a whole lot from the first two events of the weekend or week, rather. I keep saying weekend.
I think we all keep doing that.
Yeah. One of the cool things about running the triple header is the tire strategies. I don't think a lot of people recognize the different tire strategies throughout the week. I know that some guys kind of risked it in qualifying too. They went new instead of scrubs new.
Yeah.
And that was just to try and get them as far up that qualifying order as possible. But for the race, they were left with two scrub sets. So for race number two, I actually went out on the scrubs. I saw that Devlin and a couple other drivers were on the news. My teammate Artem was on scrubs, and so was Hunter. So I think that from that aspect, I was pretty calm because I could see, okay, Hunter challenged us in the first race. Like, he was really, really quick. Artem, same thing, but we're on the same tire strategy. So it was pretty much just keep Devlin behind me. And I mean, he ran quick at the beginning of the race, but I don't think that he had anything for us in the long run.
That's it, right?
So, yep. And then race three, we had our new set still left over. And so I was pretty confident that we could get out front early. And then just create that gap and then hopefully save the tires for the rest of the race. And that's exactly what happened. You know, it was like those first 5-6 laps, the tires were optimal. And from there on, it was just cruise.
You just grabbed that gap and away you went.
Yep.
So, okay. So we talked about the fact you win your first race at Mid-Ohio. You got that momentum. I got the monkey off my back. Oh, I got to go to an oval. So it's a totally different discipline, but you do well at those two ovals. Then you come to Indianapolis and you sweep the weekend. So not only do you have this momentum now, You go back and you have the understanding that I already won at Mid-Ohio. I left Mid-Ohio as a race winner, so I remember how to get that job done. Now you have all this momentum going into Mid-Ohio, a doubleheader this weekend with the NTT IndyCar Series. Have you ever had this much confidence and momentum in your life and all the racing that you've done?
I think the last time I had this was like running Junior Max 2015. was like, and that was only for a few months, you know? That wasn't like a long period of time that I had that. So I think that right now I'm feeling kind of like my old self in that aspect of just being in the position of, okay, we can do this. So I'm really happy with the way things are going. I'm happy with what the team's been able to do on the car setup side and helping me be an optimal driver. And then along with my training at Pit Fit, I think that we're in a good spot right now.
Let me ask you a serious question here as well. What, you know, again, you guys are used to winning. I remember talking to Hunter McElroy last year when he finally won his first race. And that, you know, I think it was, you know, what, six races or whatever he hadn't won. And he said it's the longest time in his career since he's been, you know, had a drought of winning because he won so many races when he was younger. You, of course, had a lot. You won a lot of races in karts. You had a long drought until you got the first win. Just based on the way you approached, I think, your Road to Indy career. What level of self-doubt did you have? Were there any times where you're questioning yourself a little bit, or was it just, you know, what did you go through mentally over that time, you know, until you got that first win?
Rob, I can't even explain all that. There was so many emotions through all the years. I mean, my last win in a race car before this year, or last win in anything before this year, was 2016. So that's 4 years without a win.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, that drains someone, that aspect of things. But I think that it was really good, to be honest, because it showed me how much someone actually needs to work day in, day out. I mean, it's not one day you show up and it's just going to appear. It's like, no, it's what you do every day for a long period of time that's going to make that difference.
That's it.
And so I think that it was good for me to get that before I get into the top levels. You know, I'd rather go through my drought now versus when I'm in IndyCar or something. So
Yeah.
Now that I got that aspect, I think I'll be a better driver from here on.
Let's just do a little dip in your career and your program. Not so much your program right now. One of the things I see is interesting is you're working with Peter Rossi a little bit, who is the father of Alexander Rossi. Of course, Peter took his son all the way through karts, Formula BMW, you know, doing all the stuff he did in Europe as well. What does Peter do for you guys, and what does he bring to the table for you as a driver as well?
Well, having Peter on our team has kept me in the car, mostly on a fundraising aspect. Yeah. You know, he's helped us go and get the guys that we need to keep me in the seat. All the teams and investors that I have so far have been amazing. It's a small group, but they've been hugely beneficial to my career. I mean, without those guys, I wouldn't be anywhere. And he's been one of the guys that's helped get Goodheart and Firehouse Animal Hospitals on side of the car, as well as Tabuti, and then Go Out Local guys. So having all those guys on board is just an example of Peter's influence in my career so far. And then from a driver's aspect, you know, Peter got to kind of experience going through the rough times with Alexander on the European side of things.
Yeah.
Trying to come up through the F1 ladder. They took some big blows. And so for the last 4 years working with Peter, he's kind of helped us keep the faith of, okay, Stingray, this is not the end of the world. Keep working hard. Like, I believe in you. You have all of the potential you need to be successful. We just need to keep working on it. So
yeah,
through all that, I think he's kept me humble and kept my mind right. And I'm thankful for him.
You know, the interesting thing is, and I see it all the time with Cardi, of course, right? You've got your dad, Larry, and then you've got your father figure to a certain extent is Peter, where sometimes you can't talk to your dad because there's so connections, but you've got Peter over here. So maybe there's some balance between the passion and the business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's perfect. Well, and I think a huge part of my success so far has been my family. You know, every weekend or every week that we're in the race car, I got both my grandparents with me, as well as my mom and my dad. So having those guys there, I mean, after those three wins, I think I really started to appreciate that, because after that, we went to dinner, had a good dinner. And I actually got to talk to Michael Duncalf a little bit and see how Brayden was doing and all that. Yeah. And we came back to the hotel room and we sat in the hotel room just talking for like 3 hours. And I was like, man, how many guys would be able to experience this with their family and have that support? And I mean, I think that's what's kept me grounded through most of my life, is having those guys there around me.
That's awesome. Here's a couple of questions for you now. Let's get into the question side of this. David Cole, you know David Cole. Here's his question.
Been he says, while.
Is the hit at PK right at the start of the S2 race in 2016 when you stole on the start, is that the hardest hit you've had in your career? Remember that?
I still got whiplash. I still have whiplash.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
That was a hard hit.
That was massive. I just remember I was looking back behind me, and I saw the cart coming. I was like, this is it. I'm going to die. Today's the day.
For those of you who don't know, there's some pictures out there. Stingray was in the S2 category, qualified on pole, and just stalled start, which happens a lot in shifter cart racing. Everybody else got around except for one guy that was coming through and cleaned you out pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, for good
it's
video.
Actually funny. I was not outdone, or I was outdone by my teammate, Matt Johnson, that weekend.
Oh, you
he
were.
He did the cartwheel in the go-kart.
Yeah.
I remember I was standing down in that hairpin when he was coming at us, and then all of a sudden I see the cart go sideways in the air and just start. I was like, oh my goodness. But he walked
That's
away.
On video too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Here's one for you. Thing. Robert Thibault asks a question. I like this. What has been your favorite track to drive beyond the IMS road course?
That's a good question, Robert. You know, my favorite on the road to Indy that I've driven, I think I say Watkins Glen, just because that's like, I don't know. There's something special about walking.
Yeah, it became a lot of people's favorite when we went there, right? People said that when we went there. Man, they love that track.
Yeah, but there's so many. I mean, you got Road America, Meadow, IMS. When we got to run Laguna Seca, that was special.
Yep.
I don't know. There's a lot of great tracks out there. But I think one of my favorite all time, and I was actually talking about this last couple of days, but the National Corvette Museum track, I got
I
to run in Skip Barber.
Yeah.
That track is unbelievable. I would love to run there one day in one of these cars.
That's
I
cool.
think it'd be the coolest event ever.
Just an FYI for those of you who are checking out the either watching this on Facebook right now as a recorded shot or are waiting ready to go. I think David Cole, I just all I can see on my side here in the studio is David put a link to Facebook. I'm assuming that's going to be either Stingray's wreck or it's going to be Matt Johnson's wreck. We'll see. Hey, listen, that's all. We'll get a couple of questions. That's good. So you got a couple of guys you could draw for a Stingray
Perfect.
Rob hat.
50-50
looking forward
for them.
What's that?
That's a 50-50 chance for them.
It's
That's so, good.
It's there. Way better chance. let's talk about Mid-Ohio. How excited are you to get back to that race? It's a doubleheader. You have a point lead right now. It's the first time you've had a point lead here this year. First time actually you've had a point lead in your time at the Road to Indy. What are your thoughts coming into this weekend? Does it change the way you feel, or should you just go to win races again?
I think that we can go and just win races. Okay. I know it's not going to be easy. I actually was talking to Diane Swintall right before this in an interview. And I was like, man, as much as I would like to say that we're just going to dominate the rest of the season, I know that's not true.
That's right.
You know, there's so many good drivers in the series this year that it's like, I think this is one of the best. I mean, I've said it multiple times now. This is one of the best groups of drivers that I think the series has had. So going into a race, we know it's going to be a challenge, but we know that we're capable of running at the front based on the triple header that we had at Mid-Ohio last time, as well as the momentum that we gained at IMS. We know we've got a good race car, and we know that unfortunately with Braden Eves being out, it provides more of an open door for us because he was so quick there last time. It's unfortunate that we get to look at it that way, but thankfully he's doing well, and it was good to see him up and walking around at the go-kart track. So I'm glad that he's stubborn. I do like
No doubt about that. That's good. Hey, listen, one last question. Obviously, lead the points now. We're really only halfway through the season. That's the one thing we have to remember. Two Mid-Ohio races, three at New Jersey, and two at St. Petersburg. So still seven races to go, a long way to go in the championship. You lead the championship, you end up winning, you're getting a scholarship for Indy Lights. If that doesn't happen because of the challenge, because of the drivers you're talking about, and it just doesn't happen, is the plan still to go to Indy Lights if possible financially?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a struggle to get the financial support that way, but we've had such a good group of investors so far, like I've said, that I think it's possible. Everything comes on time, and I think that's part of God's timing.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that these wins are going to lead to another good event, hopefully championship win, and that'll be part of God's timing.
There it hopefully. Is. Hey, Stingray, thank you so much for joining me, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob.
See you in Mid-Ohio.
Sounds good.
We'll drop Stingray out of here. Again, guys, just an absolutely tremendous young driver there. I think those of you who have been part of this program have kind of watched him mature throughout the last couple of years, started with a couple of different teams, hooked up then, of course, as we said, with Juncos Racing. That has been really, really big for Stingray. You can hear in his voice having Ricardo Juncos there this year. Of course, the Indy Lights program not running, so he may have had a lot of focus there. Now he's focusing a little more on the Indy Pro 2000 category. And here's a guy with so much experience, not only just on the engineering side of cars, but Ricardo obviously working with so many drivers, understanding maybe what they need. And great to see what we've seen here last couple of days at a Stingray. Three big wins at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. His focus is on Indy Lights, like all the drivers are coming up through this road to Indy, but definitely a young American driver that everybody wants to watch. As we said, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Somebody's going to win a Stingray Rob hat. If you're watching this on YouTube, please do me a favor and click the like button and subscribe to the channel, because we'll be having a lot more content. I'm going to move my Book It podcast there as well. I'm going to start talking to some different drivers who are junior formula drivers around the country and around the world as well, those Americans and North Americans that are running in other places, just to kind of maybe give a little bit of a look of who's going to be coming to the road to Indy in coming years. We'll also turn this into a podcast, as we always do. Again, we will be on track on Friday morning for the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Of course, go to Road to Indy TV, all the coverage, practice qualifying, and all the races alongside the NTT IndyCar Series. I do appreciate you joining me here on the Road to Indy Insider Live. We're going to try to do another one next week. I'm actually finally going home for the first time since Road America, and then right back at it again. New Jersey in October. Let's cross our fingers we get a chance to go back to the Sunshine State, to the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg for the season finale. Again, big thank you to Stingray Rob for joining me here today. We'll see whether or not the momentum that he's developed continues to roll as we get to Ohio. Thanks again, folks, for joining us. I do appreciate it. Book it.